Surely the Lord has been in this place. Amen. That's why it's important to come to church. I thank God for everybody in podcast world, but if you ain't in this place tonight, you're missing out. Thank you, Lord. I just can't help but hear, old mountain be made low, old valley be raised up. I just feel in my soul, Brandon, that something's changing in our community. I feel that something's changing in our family. I feel that something's happening in the kingdom of God. Amen. My, what a good time to be in the kingdom. What a good time to be His son. Are you glad for the love of God? If you got your Bibles, open them with me to, let's go to Ephesians. We'll start off in Ephesians chapter 4. Pastor may go back, because I'm going to jump to 4, because it goes right along with what I felt in my soul to preach. I preached it last Sunday, and I talked to my brother, or maybe it was this Sunday, whatever Sunday it was that I wasn't here, and just so happened that my brother preached the same exact message with the same exact scriptures, and we hadn't spoke, and tonight the songs and the feeling in the house go right along with what the Lord has laid on my heart. So Ephesians chapter 4, starting off in verse number 1, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Verse number 2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Our scripture tells us that we are to forbear one another in love. Now moving on to Matthew chapter 24, and I think I'll start reading off maybe in verse number 9, as Jesus talks about the end days and times to come, as He peers through the corridors of time and begins to tell them things that would come to pass. Verse number 9 says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Verse number 11 says, as many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Verse 12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. When, you may be seated, when Jesus was asked the question of things to come, he would go in to signs of times coming, but he would tell them that when you see these things happening, you'll see rumor, you'll see wars, you'll hear of wars, and you'll hear of rumors of wars. He says that false prophets are going to arise and deceive many, and I think we're in this place now. He said there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. There's going to be natural disasters occurring, but he says the end is not yet, for it is but the beginning of sorrows. But the verse that caught my attention is in verse number 12, when he lays out all these things, but he thought it important to tell us that due to the fact that iniquity is abounding in these times, that the love of many shall wax cold. There's several different types of love. We know that in Scripture, we have a Bible that was translated from Hebrew into different languages, and we get our Old Testament, and then we've got our New Testament, which would have come from Greek and Latin and translated back into English. So there's different words used, and we've gone through this in the New Testament for certain things. So it's important at times to dive into a word to see exactly what it means. Because what you'll find is there's different types of love. And I'm going to go ahead and butcher this, but I'm going to give it my best go. In the Greek, there is eros, that is romantic love. There is philia, that is brotherly love. And you can find that in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. There's lodos, that is a playful love. And then there is, I've heard it pronounced storeg, storge, and storage. So however you want to say it. And that is a family love, a love toward a child, or a motherly love, reciprocated back from children to their parents. That's that type of love. But what you'll find used throughout our New Testament is a love that is known as agape love. Agape love is a selfless and sacrificial love. It's a type of love of the love of God, an unconditional love and a goodwill love, a love that wants the best for the recipient or for the person what's getting the love poured on them. It's goodwill love toward that person. That is agape love. And that's exactly what Jesus tells us in verse number 13, in the beginning of sorrows would begin to wax cold, is folks' unconditional love, that godly love that I pour into people, he would say, is going to begin to wax cold in this end time. And the reason it waxes cold, he said, is because iniquity is abounding. On every corner, iniquity's about. And I think we're there today where you can turn on your television, should you own one, and iniquity's going to abound. You can find yourself in elementary, middle, or high school, or upper education, and iniquity is going to abound. You can find yourself listening to the radio or on your cell phone, and iniquity on the left and on the right is much, in our time and age, going to abound. And if you're not very careful, you can get an attitude about you where you carry yourself as if you're better than everyone around you. You can really begin to think in your heart of hearts, and you can begin to get the type of mind about you that you have somehow earned the sacrificial love that was poured out, somehow earned the sacrifice at Calvary, somehow earned your salvation. But can I tell you that God showed his love, his agape love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not only would Jesus in the New Testament call out and demand for us to love, he would say things like, a new commandment I leave with you, that you love one another. But he didn't just leave it there. He raised the bar a little bit higher when he said, as I have loved you, so shall you love one another. We live in a day and in an age that desperately needs to see the love of God. Jesus would level accusations at the Pharisees and say, you tithe on everything you get, but the love of God is not found in you. He would look out at a church and tell them that you are doing all these things. You're crossing your T's and you're dotting your I's, but you have left your first love, and because of that, I have somewhat against you. God help us in this day and in this age that we show forth the love of God. First mention of love is Genesis chapter 22 when he tells Abram, he says, take thy son, thy only son, who thou lovest, and take him and sacrifice him. A sacrificial love, an unconditional love. It's agape love. 1 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 13, Paul says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, and by the way, charity is translated agape, though I have not the love of God, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You must have the love of God. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, and it's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly, and it seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And he caps it off in verse number 8 when he says, charity never faileth. Prophecy may fail you, but love is never going to fail you. Someone may speak a word over your life and they may miss it, but can I tell you, the love of God will never fail in your life. Where there are tongues, the scripture said they shall cease, but love will never fail you. For too long, I believe the church, Brother Damon, has some sectors of the church, I guess you could say, have robed themselves in gifts. Well, we've got prophecy, we've got tongues, we shout, we've got anointed music, but is your heart broken for the lost? Let me ask you that. You hear good word preached, and people seem to flop, but do you have a godly compassion for the lost in your heart? Do you have love in your body? Do you have love in your heart one to another? No greater theme you'll find throughout Scripture from Genesis to Revelation than the love of God. From Genesis to Revelation, our Bible is chock full of account after account after account of God showing up and showing off in a mighty way due to His selfless love for His people. Murmuring in the wilderness, but He loved them. Backsliding in the wilderness, but the faithlessness in the wilderness, but He loved them. Killing His prophets, but He loved them. Scorning His name, but He loved them. Oh, the reckless, endless love of God. If I mimic anything in my life, Brother Johnny, let it be that there is love in my heart toward my brothers and sisters, and not only then toward my brothers and sisters, but also to the backsliders and to the sinners. I hope that it said over my body that man had a love in his heart for the people of God. No greater thing could be said of a Christian, or should be said, or must be said of a Christian, than they are robed in the love of God. A new commandment, he said. You've got the Torah, you've got the law, but I'm leaving something different with you. I'm giving you a greater commandment, he would say, that you love one another. And not only that you love one another, but that you love one another as I have loved you. Agape love, it is said that it is a type of love that acts. And I believe that's why we have the Acts of the Apostles. Because you had men that weren't worried about the safety of their body. They weren't worried about when their feelings got hurt. But what they were worried about is that a lost and dying world heard the good news of Jesus Christ. A prophet would come to Paul and tell him, don't go to Jerusalem because evil things are going to befall you there. You're going to suffer at the hands of the folks in Jerusalem. And Paul would say, I know all these things, but there was a story and a witness that must be told. Oh, the love of God. No greater story. He tells us in verse 35 of John, he says, by this will men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another, not by how much you dance, not by how many suits you got in your closet, not by what type of music you got on your radio, not by how long your skirt is, not by how long your sleeves are, but he said, this is how all men will know that you are my disciple, is that you have love one for another. And don't get me wrong, I believe in purity and I believe in holiness, but the love of God had better be the reason we cling to purity, and the reason we cling to holiness is because He loved us while we were yet sinners. Why do you go the places you go? Why do you do the thing? Because He loved me while I was yet in sin. 1 John chapter 3 says, this is how you know that you've passed from death to life, because you love the brethren. And he says, he that loveth not the brother abideth in death. If you've got aught against your brother and you've got hate in your heart toward one another, you abide yet in death. And you have not passed from death over into life. And that's Scripture, that's not me. 1 John 4 and 8 says, he that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love. John goes ahead and spells it out for us and caps it off when he says, by the way, God is love. If you want to wrap yourself in something, wrap yourself in the love of God. If you want to have a strong, stern doctrine, have a strong, stern doctrine in love. Not only does it speak of love as an attribute or the makeup of God, but Jesus also would call out folks, call out the Pharisees. You have not the love of God in you. Jesus in Revelation would call out the church of Ephesus. I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. Because you don't have love. One translation would put it this way. I have aught against you because you don't have love one for another. You're occupying your pew and you're there religiously, but you don't have love in your heart one for another. And you've left that, and because of that, I've got aught against you. He puts a lot of emphasis, Jesus does, on us not only loving one another, but sharing the love of God to a lost and dying world. In the New Testament, time and again, you would read that Jesus would heal because he would have compassion. That Jesus, moved with compassion, would go to folks. Don't let, as Paul would say, we can't let our bowels of mercies be stopped up. As he peers through the corridors in Matthew, he could speak of anything. He could warn us of anything to come. But our Savior, our King, thought it important to tell us that many would let their love wax cold. He then speaks of coming persecutions and things that what he said shortly come to pass. Matthew chapter 24 and 12 is a warning to the church. It's a warning to his people. Because the gospel that he has chosen for us to carry is dictated by the fact that we love people. If you don't love people, you won't witness to them. If you don't love people, you won't intercede for them in prayer. It takes agape, unconditional love to intercede for someone when they're found in a fault. It takes an unconditional type of love to find yourself on your knees through many tears, crying out for your loved ones, your family, your brothers and sisters who may have gone astray. It takes an unconditional type of love not to give up on folks when your flesh tells you it's time to give up. We've got to have the love of God in us. It's so easy in the world that we live in for our love to wax cold. I know it's so easy for things to just fly all over me. Pastor, it's easy for me to hear of something that's going on in the media or hear of something that's going on somewhere in a faraway state or a different country and for it to fly all over me. But I believe that our enemy has found a way to stifle or to slow down the furtherance of the gospel. And the way he chooses to do that is through the waxing cold of your and my love. Dave, it takes love to intercede for your brothers. When things don't sound right, when things don't look like, and when it seems like someone's taken a step forward and three steps backward, it takes the love of God to keep on praying. That's why Jesus would tell us to watch out that our love don't wax cold. That's why he would tell us a new commandment I'm leaving with you. I know the gospel works. I know the power in what I'm leaving you. It's important for you that I go away. It's expedient for you that I go away. But it's going to take love for you to spread this thing to the ends of the world. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, God help me that I'm not so spiritual that I forget to love people. God help me that I'm not so caught up in looking the part or acting the part that I fail to really see what breaks the heart of God. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding, and you understand all mysteries, and though you have all the faith to move a mountain, if you have not charity, it profiteth nothing. How could someone give their body to be burned and not have love in their heart? How could someone bestow all their goods to feed the poor and not have love in their heart? I'll tell you how. It's because it's easy to get in the rut of just doing things. It's easy to get in the rut of just showing up to church and checking it off the box and listening to the sermon and going on about your merry way, all while people around you are living with their heart broken. All while the God that you serve is desperately reaching for the folks you encounter on a daily basis. God, help us to see with your eyes. God, help us to hear what your voice is saying, and help me, oh God, to be brokenhearted for what breaks your heart. Let us never pass by an opportunity to witness, to bear witness. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. The most important thing in your life outside of your relationship with Jesus Christ is that you bear witness of what you have done, of what He has done in your life. We can never get to the place that our prayer life is fervent, but our love is waxed cold. Help me never to get to the place where I've got heated, hot, fervent prayer, but my love toward this dying and lost world or toward my brothers and sisters has waxed cold. Why is that dangerous? Because it's in those moments that you begin to pray over the deed and pray over the location rather than praying over the individual. It's easy to pray, God, take their drugs away. God, take away the alcoholism. God, take away their attraction for folks that they're not married to. God, take away this or take away that, wherein our prayer ought to be, God, be glorified in them. God, whatever you do, be glorified in them and by them and through them. Be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high. I believe that things change when our will is bent into His will. When I'm no longer worried about how bad the deed makes them look, but I'm more worried about them giving glory to the only one who deserves the glory. When I'm more worried about is their heart set toward Jesus and all that He has to offer them. That's what our motivation ought to be. But I know in my life, it's easy for me to get fixated on the deed. God, take it away. God, change it. God, change their mind. God, change this. God, do this. God, do that. God, be glorified in them. God, let your praise come from their mouth. God, let their heart be set on you. That's what I pray over you. Yeah. God, set her heart on you. Oh, God, be glorified. Love's easy to spot on Christians. We've all known those hateful folks, right? Some people just hateful, Johnny. I don't know what it is, but they ain't got the love of God in them. Just bad news right and left. But Eddie, I was thinking the other day about Cat. At Mapscott years ago, a preacher, they had a different preacher come in from a different church, and I wore a shirt, and it was like a salmon collar. And I was sitting right on the front row, and he used me for an illustration. And I had been back in church for a few years, but not very long. So I could see where Cat's kind of getting protective, you know what I mean? And I'm sitting on that front row, and that guy gets me up, and he says, I don't think I'd have chose that shirt. I think I'd have picked it. I don't really like, said something to that effect. And at the end of service, Cat came up to me, And she said, I just want you to know that I love that shirt, and I think that shirt's pretty. And Eddie said he don't know what he's talking about because he only wears white anyway. That's what happens when you love people. When you love people, it doesn't have to be mystical. It doesn't have to come from the chill bump factory to love folks. To pick someone up and to give them an uplifting or an encouraging word, it doesn't have to be something where you're so spiritual that you know, I don't even know how to put it. But you get to that, y'all know what I'm talking about. You get to this place, you feel like that you've got to be so deep in the spirit for God to speak to you. No. But in your daily walk, as you go about life, listen for that still small voice, because God still loves people. Not only, the song said, He loves us, and He does. Oh, the songs we sang tonight, I thank God for His love. But what we can't forget is that He came not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He said, for God so loved the world. Not He loves His body. He loves His bride. But it said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We need not forget that God loves the world. And He's willing that none should perish. God, keep my heart in Your heart. Lot was vexed in Sodom, as he should have been. Right? The sinful place that he was living, the Bible would say that he was vexed. He just went about life vexed because iniquity was abounding. On every corner, iniquity was abounding. But you know what Lot did every morning? He set his face toward that city. And his eyes were set towards that city. Your love is going to wax cold if you set your eyes toward this world. The love of God inside of you, I promise you, is going to wax cold if you continually have your eyes and your heart and your face set toward what's going on in the world. But can I tell you, if your eyes and your face and your heart and your being are set toward God, you'll see that there's room for Him to be glorified. You'll see that no matter what may come, we've got a God that said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. We've got a God that is for us. And I think sometimes we forget that He's for everybody else too. Jason, it's easy to get mad at people and to hold a grudge. Let me read you something real quick, if that's okay. This is a different translation. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. You ready for this? It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes, and it always preserves. Love never fails. Agape love keeps no record of wrongs. He said, as far as the east is from the west. So who are we to bring up folks' past? Who are we, Eddie, to look out over a life and begin to think that they're too far gone or somehow outside the reach of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Love never fails. Agape love keeps no record of wrongs. Other things may fail us. We've been failed. Jason, I've been failed. You've been failed. We've all been failed. I've had friends walk away. You've had family fail you. The love of God never fails. I've lost a scripture that I would love to read to you. I'm going to find it in my notes because it's important. And I'm just that good at being awkward. I live my life this way, so I'm good. 2 Corinthians. See, that wasn't that bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth, by the way. That I would not come to you again in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he that maketh me glad but the same which is made sorry by me? He said, why am I going to come to you and make you sad when you're the one that's going to lift me up? And I wrote the same unto you, lest when I come, I should have sorrow from them whom I ought to rejoice. Having confidence in you all, I promise I'm going somewhere with this, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you may be grieved, but that you may know the love which I have more abundantly toward you. When Paul finds himself in a fix with the church at Corinth, and he's mapping through how to set them straight, he starts off his letter and he says, I was going to chew you out. I was going to say some stuff to you, but I've caught myself because you're going to lift me up when I see you. But he tells them this. He says, for out of affliction, this is what godly love looks like. For out of much affliction and anguish, we ought to be afflicted for the lost. We ought to anguish for our lost family. Out of anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you may know the love, that agape, which I have toward you more abundantly. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many wax cold, but we don't have to be them. The love of all doesn't have to wax cold, but while iniquity yet abounds, should there be a church in our area that is more fervent than ever in the love of God, not only in our prayer life, not only in our praise, not only in our worship, not only in our word, but also in love one to another, also in how we treat people, also on what folks feel when they enter through those doors. I don't know where they've come from. I don't know what they've found themselves battling, but what I do know is that love never fails. What I do know, Brother Johnny, what I do know is that if God's given you the gift of tongues, He's given you the gift of tongues because He loves people. If God's given you the gift of prophecy, He's given you the gift of prophecy because He loves people. If He's given you the gift of teaching, He's given you that gift, sir or ma'am, because He loves people. I really, really, really have a woe about prophets who only want to prophesy something bad to come. I really take issue with folks that only want to bring out the worst in folks and prophesy about what they've done in their past and the things that they're going to carry. Who are the people that will rise up and say, oh, mountain be made low, oh, valley be brought high? God so loved the world. He so loved the world. If anybody was going to condemn the world, don't you think it should have been Him? Should it not be the one whom they spat upon? Should it not be the one whose beard they plucked out? Should it not be the one whose hands and feet they nailed to a tree? But no, He looked out and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Love keeps no record of wrong. Oh, His great love. Oh, His great love. Musicians, you can come. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 tells us that we're to speak the truth in love. That's agape love. You ought to speak the truth to people, but your truth ought to be spoken as Paul's was, through anguish of heart, through many tears, through love. Let everything be done in brotherly love, one to another. What I'm not saying is that you go along with everyone's sin. Jesus in no way went along with everyone's sin. But I feel like the character trait about him that was most hard for everyone to fathom is how he loved people. They would set traps and set snares for him. But he was moved by love. And not once was he caught in something because he was moved by love. Everything he done was for his people. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall famine? No. Shall principalities? Mm-mm. Shall powers? Nope. Shall height, depth, nor any other creature shall separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And if nothing outside of a human being can shut up the love of God towards a person, you know you can do that. You know you can shut up your spirit to the place that you don't show the love of God toward someone you ought to be showing the love of God toward. If principalities can't pull that off, brothers and sisters, that's a weight to carry. To know that I could not accurately portray the love of God toward His people. I want to share something, if I may, for just a moment. And this is not meant at all for my glory, not at all. Please don't take it that way. But God's used me a few times to speak to people, to give a word over their life. Some church people, some not church people. But you know the running theme of every single time He's ever spoke to me for someone. It's shrouded in His love. My heart will begin to break because I feel a little bit of the anguish that that person has gone through, and I know that they've got a Father in heaven. Oh, that knows where they've been, that sees their past, that has their future in His hand, that can speak to any hurt, that can speak to any infirmity in their life, that can speak to any sin, that can speak to anything that's happened in their past that they thought defined them. It's always been about His love. So I've been somewhat a train wreck thinking about the love of God. Help me to portray Your love to people. God, help me to accurately portray the fact that You don't give up on us. And I know where I was. For a moment, could you go back and remember where you was? If He can do that, what's outside of His reach? What this world needs. Politicians run on their agenda and they tell you what our country needs and what our communities need and what our families need and what our homes need and what our schools need is this and it's that. No, can I tell you? Can I be really honest with you and tell you what this world is in desperate need of? It's in need of the love of God shed abroad. The earth groaneth, all the earth groaneth, waiting on the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God. So if you've got someone in your life that you're praying over and it's hard, I want you to come up. We're going to lay hands on you. And what we're going to pray is that your love doesn't wax cold. And if you've got lost family members who desperately, desperately need the gospel and that desperately need to give in to Jesus Christ, I want you to come up here because we're going to pray that they are in awe and enamored by the love of God. You know, know what's more convicting than anything? Where true conviction comes in is when you understand that in spite of where you are, you've got a God that loves you anyway. Conviction, true conviction comes in when you understand that you didn't earn it. When the truth is revealed to you that in spite of all this, in spite of where I am right now, His love is greater than it all.